The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with your brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult your brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It is also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Anything more than that, this comes from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Lord Jesus, we don't have to welcome you here, because you are already here. You're in our hearts. You're with those who walk with you. Lord, thank you that you are present and desire to make yourself known more deeply to us each day. We thank you for your presence. Amen. Please be seated. I was greeted by an old battle buddy this morning. I served with him in Iraq. He's not here right now. I guess he sort of comes and goes, but we all come with long journeys. And this morning, we are going to look at the encounter with God, closeness with God. I want to tell you a story first. I have the privilege of walking a golden retriever. His name is Jack. He's a neighbor's dog. They feed him, they vet him, they care for him. I just get to walk with him and play with him and wrestle with him. What more could you want from a deal, you know? It's truly a gift. But this neighbor's dog, we go on long walks, and I've noticed something in our long walks. When I have him on a leash, he strains the limits of that leash, pushing ahead, pulling back, and sometimes I get a jerk on my shoulder that could almost wrench it out, or he gets a noose around his neck that nearly chokes him out. For us, sometimes it's not pleasant or enjoyable for man or beast in this leash effect that we have together. I call it the law of the leash, and its purpose is to protect him from the dangers of the road and people being disturbed by him. You know, a young puppy, a golden retriever, jumps a lot when it doesn't learn its discipline. And so it's sort of unpleasant when you're on that law of the leash. But then when we go into the backwoods, and I do a lot of walking, a lot of prayer and a lot of reflection, and in those backwoods, I can release his collar, or I release his leash. And you know what the strange thing is? Is he doesn't go running further away. He comes right up on the side of me. And we may be walking in the tunnels of, say, one of these canyons over here. It's called the Tunnels Mesa, Del Mar Mesa. And these trails get a little narrow at times, but he's sitting right on my knee, right on my leg. And we're walking, and it's like, dog, once you got here, can't you walk forward and back like you do when you're on the leash? But I've discovered something. When he's off that leash, off that law of the leash, he wants to be closer to me. And it's kind of insightful because it's taught me some things about my relationship with God that I want to share with you. Because we all are here this morning, I assume, for the most part, unless you were dragged here by your wife or your husband or your parents, you're here to discover a deeper walk with God in some way. And yet we all struggle with it. I struggle with it. I have a time that it's like, I don't know exactly. I have so many distractions. We have, you know, some of us here, my buddy here has war issues. Some of us have health issues. Some of us have relationship issues, financial issues that seem to pull us away, to drag us away from what we want in that intimacy with him. You may even be afraid of this subject of drawing close to God because where that might lead you. You don't know what that experience might be. Some of us try to find just a safe distance. Not too close, not too far away, just within the limits of the leash. I mean, we like our structures. You know, we got the church, we got the liturgy, we've got the Sunday morning, 9 o'clock. Be 10 minutes early now, guys, if you really want to treat. But we've got these structures that square us in, and they're good. They're wonderful. But that doesn't absent us from what God is wanting us to do in drawing close to him. To where, if I could put this image in this term of walking Jack the dog, that we would be like Jack, not straining away or pushing away or trying to find our own territory, but walking up next to our Father, our Lord, to be close and intimate to him. But that's the challenge we have. So I want us to look at the scriptures we have today. We had 4 awesome passages of scripture that speak to this journey of discovering intimacy with God. Those journeys of intimacy, and that's a scary word for a guy, especially an old soldier, it's something, intimacy, come on, we're on tough stuff. Guys, don't be afraid of it. You got close, most of you have connected up with a wonderful woman at some point in your life. You can understand the taste of it. Well, there's a guy intimacy. Gals, you have it ahead of us so many ways. But this intimacy with God is something to be treasured. If you had a good father that you connected with, you can sort of make that transference. I'm doing it with Jack the dog, okay, as my image in this journey these days. Our writer in Deuteronomy calls us to choose life in verse 19. You see it in your readings there. And that is to say, choose life by loving him, by walking in his ways, obeying his directions, and keeping his statutes. In other words, in your discipline in your life with God and others, you are having him at the focus and center of it. You are making choices to bring life into your existence. You can choose your own way, though, but that usually leads to loss, to separation, death, and, of course, distance from God. Or the writer is trying to say, get off the leash here and walk with him. Make that choice of life in that intimacy with him, not just on the leash. Psalm 119, the psalmist writes of and tells us, enjoy God's presence. Those who walk in his ways, that seek him with all their heart, that keep his statutes, that regard his commandments, are rewarded with a blessed and thankful life, which allows them to know him and to draw close to him. So keeping the Ten Commandments, the laws, if you want to call it, is not just a thou shalt. It's part of the journey into intimacy with God. Because he honors that commitment, that connection we make to him. In the Corinthians reading that we had from Paul, he wanted the followers of Christ, to whom he was writing, to be a whole, spiritual, healthy people of God and with God. But to the Corinthians, by the way they lived, he had to tell them, you are just children. You're immature and unready for this awesome closeness with God. Now, these Corinthians were our brothers and sisters in Christ. They knew Jesus. They knew the Ten Commandments, but they had some problems. They weren't living it. They weren't doing the way that they should be. They could barely handle the basic rules of the faith, following the Ten Commandments, treating your brother or sister fair, not lying or cheating or lowering yourself to your base emotional, moral, relational issues of your life. You let those control you. He wanted them to move from that childish, immature, carnal relationship with God to an intimate, spiritually deep, and he called it a meaty relationship with God. Receive the meat. He wanted to give them the meat of the word, the revelation of God, but they weren't able to handle it because they were stuck in that old path, tied onto that leash, and just having to live in those boundaries because there was not that kinship relationship. He was correcting their basic behaviors, and that was part of the first steps towards God. And that's where sometimes many of us stay. Oh, I sinned today. Oh my, I better repent and try not to do it again. And I'm going to try to give my tithe. I'm going to try to go to church more often. I'm going to try to do these things. Well, that's great. And that is awesome. But that's the basics of sort of that first connection with God. But Paul wanted us to move on. Move on from the leashes restrictions to something freer and more meaningful. And Jesus in the gospel sums it up. Sometimes this is where you get the hard lessons of Jesus, but they are. Gospel of Matthew 5 that we just read, we see Jesus calling us to a more genuine relationship with others and God. He goes from the simple law, the basic of don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't swear false vows. But he's really saying in this, let your walk with Jesus be so integrated that even you have disciplined your anger, you've disciplined your lust, your thoughts and words to such a point that that character in you pleases him. He's pleased by what you are doing. Now, I've given you some more things to do here. I want to give you something, though, that helps us in this journey, because moving off the leash of the law and our fears is a challenge. So how do we draw close? What does God offer us to move with him? Well, through his Holy Spirit, he offers some wonderful gifts of drawing close to God. Do you remember the collect we had for today, the first prayer? I'll just read part of it to you. Mercifully, Father, mercifully accept our prayers, and because in our weakness, we can do nothing good without you. Give us the help of your grace, that in keeping your commandments, we may please you both in will and deed through our Lord Jesus Christ. God recognizes our weaknesses, brothers and sisters, that we don't quite get it 100% because nobody gets it that much. But he gives us a way to draw close to him. And many recent and ancient writers recognize the gifts that God gives through the Holy Spirit, and it's given to each one here who knows Jesus. Now, if this morning you don't know Jesus, and you're kind of confused as to what I'm talking about, please come and connect with Father Ed or myself or anybody else who walks with the Lord here and ask him how you too may know Jesus. But I'm speaking this morning to those of us who do. How does he enable us to walk intimately with him? Well, first, the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to obey his ways. Remember all these writers this morning who said, walk in obedience, follow his statutes, follow his directions. Well, how do you do that? And what the gift is that when you call out to God, his Spirit comes in and enables you to be able to walk. So when you say yes to him, he fills in you that ability to obey him. And that's his gift. But not only that, the Holy Spirit will give you the gift of awareness of his presence if you take time to be with him so that you will want to follow him. In other words, the awareness of God can be found, first of all, in the beauty of creation around you. As I've shared in the past, many soldiers, we go for long walks because we've seen a lot of ugliness. But in the walks in beautiful parts of the world, in San Diego, you can see the beauty of God. And you begin to realize, oh, this world isn't all just messy. That there's some wonderful things. Yes, you are there, Lord. If you take time to observe it. I don't know what part of the messy world you come from, but if you feel distant from the presence of God, begin to walk where He walks, where He is. But it's not just in the beauty of creation that you find Him. You find Him in the community of faith. You can look at Father Ed, as old a codger as he is, and he's my dear older brother, he has the beauty of Christ in him. And you can... You have to really look hard, but as you look around in each of us here, you will find and discover the beauty of Christ living in them. And that's the gift we have to say, oh, Lord, you're like this. I can walk alongside this type of person and encounter God. You will find in the community of faith, you will see those like you and even those different from you on a similar journey of discovery. And you'll realize that God is in them and, wow, I'm in the presence of God. He will reveal Himself through others around you if you take the time to be around others who walk with God. It's your choice. You will also find Him in the events that happen around you as you take a moment to see where God's hand is at in the societal issues and, God forbid, the political issues and the financial and the health issues in your life. You can see where God has a hand in doing something. And if you're open to seeing with His eyes, you'll discover some wonderful things He is doing. And so even in the messiness of our lives, you discover the intimacy with God. And what a gift that can become. Or you can be the whiner complainer who just looks at all the bad stuff and no hope, you know. Well, I can assure you guys, God is there in the midst of all the crazy things. If He's there in the midst of war, combat, death, and dying, I can assure you He's in the midst of political situations, financial situations, relationship situations. He's there in all of that. That gives you and I hope to walk in His presence. That's His gift to us. As well, the Holy Spirit gives us a gift of spiritual freedom. And this is what I cherish. Where you can surrender your anxiety, your worry, in order to be present with God in this present world. To be present with God in this present world that each of us live in. Each of us come from different worlds. This morning we all awoke to different situations. Our Lord is present there with you at that moment. And the wonderful thing is He desires us to walk with Him, just like Jack walks with me. That dog up against my leg, keeping me on the trail and almost knocking me off, because He wants to be near, because He's free to be near, versus on the leash, which He finds His distance and boundaries. It's safer there on the leash. Finally, the Holy Spirit gives us a desire for prompt repentance, which encourages you and me to return to God and ask forgiveness and become aware of our need for God. So when you mess up, the wonderful gift that God has for us is He'll remind us, Bob, you were impatient with your wife, or you weren't kind. Be nice. I'm just making that confession. He prompts us to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Versus just having to hold on to that bitterness, that resentment. That's a gift He does. So you're not really doing a whole lot in this walk with Him. He's opening up His Spirit's blessing upon you. With God gifting these gifts to follow Him, we're going to be able to walk with Him freely. So we are encouraged by God. He is encouraging us to choose closeness with Him because He loves us and wants us walking with Him. And He provides the way for us to be intimate with Him. He chooses the walk. I go next door as often as I can to pick up Jack to go for the walk. I can assure you, God is always wanting to grab you and take you on that walk, wherever it is. He wants to do that with you. So what stops you today from moving off the leash to a free walk with Him? Let's pray. Lord, You see us each in our journeys. You see the struggles we carry in our journey with You, and You understand us. But I thank You that You make a way for us. And that as a result of that close walk with You, we can be the glory, the light, that Reverend Judith spoke about last week, being the light and salt in this world. We can't be it unless you are shining your glory in and through us, through that intimacy with you. Let it be real and genuine for each of us, wherever we are. In your holy name I pray. Amen. Amen.